Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
We're putting up new buildings, we're knocking down the old. We're working in the summer heat and in the winter cold. And the labour power we sell, me boys, for a hard-earned weekly pay produces mighty profits for the greedy MBA. And whether we were born here or born in Italy, in Greece, in Spain or Ireland, in England or Fiji, we all of us are workers, united we must stand, until the wealthy bludgers have been driven from our land. We faced deregistration, it backfired in the face. We're not fooled by arbitration, we won't stay in our place. We hit the bosses hard and fast to win and keep our gains, and break a couple of concrete pours to back our log of claims. So keep your powder dry and hold your head up high. It's class to class and face to face, our limit is the sky. We've got a fighting history and we never will be cowed. Our builder's labour is an aim to make a man feel proud.
It's good morning from the Concrete Gang, 3CR Community Radio, 855 on your AM dial, every Sunday morning at 9:30, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And we've got old Three Trees.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing?
Good, thanks.
Good, mate. Good, good.
That wasn't your cue yet.
That wasn't your cue, saying good.
Southeast. And the Southeast Shadow.
Good morning. Good morning, brothers.
You talk when we tell you to talk. Jesus.
And we've got a...
Oh, my God.
Had a massive week, haven't we?
Jeez.
Yeah.
It just keeps coming, doesn't it?
Every week's just a blur. It's just one day to the next day.
It's locked on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting to the end of the week seems to be the reward nowadays, isn't it?
Just getting tortured.
To today. Yeah.
It's like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nah, we've had a fair bit happening. It has to be the biggest onslaught ever the last three weeks.
Just, ever.
It just keeps coming.
Not to mention the incidents and the bloody deaths and the heart attacks.
Heart attacks, mate. Flavor of the month.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to be a little bit more vigilant nowadays with the way it's going. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what age you are.
100%.
No,
I know. I think we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, about getting checked out.
And it's naturally...
Yeah,
and we all think we're all going to be all right. We'll leave it.
Get the IncoLink buster, because we had a Stuart on. He got the IncoLink out. They did his check and they go, your blood pressure's off the Richter scale. You better go to the doctors. He's like, no. Went to the doctor. Spoke to him yesterday. He was going to the doctors to get it all sorted out. Like,
well, there you go.
That was just from a simple check.
There is a bus.
Blood pressure was through the... Oh, I don't know if it was a bus, but... there was a bus. There was a bus at one stage.
It's a limo. It's a limousine.
Yeah. I think Corey just drives around in his car.
Yeah. Your blood pressure goes up.
That's why the blood pressure's up.
Everybody.
Listen to him. Oh. But no, now he's on a bit of a plan to get his blood pressure down. It was off. So it took like 5 minutes, the checks, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
It's a small thing we could possibly be doing to save a lot of fun.
And you had an incident on one of your Southeast Shadow, didn't you?
Yeah, on Tuesday afternoon there, a 22-year-old. Heart attack.
Yeah.
So that's very young to be going through that. But shout out to Matt Carey out there at the Hutchie's job.
Yeah.
He's done a great job. A few things there wrong with the first aid room. It was a bit tight access for the ambos to get in.
They weren't happy with it?
No, they weren't happy with it.
There you go. So sort of just goes to show when we talk about setting up like first aid facilities and sheds and that there. Just because you think it's compliant doesn't mean it's right.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
They think we're being petty saying you need a double door or if you do.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's most of us, because we come from the floor. We've seen people get brought out in stretchers and stuff.
Yeah.
And it makes a big difference. But obviously touching on the heart attacks, obviously we'll just run through a few. It's the shit stuff we got to talk about, but unfortunately we had a couple of deaths again. Obviously, Tony Radden passed away last week, and his funeral's being held on Tuesday, the 15th of September, and that's at 12:30 at Altona Memorial Park, 14 Dougherty's Road, Altona North. So on the same day, we're going to have another funeral. Larry Doyle, fortunately, long-term member, been in the industry well over 30, 40 years.
Yeah,
almost.
Easy.
He was around for, everyone knew Larry, you know what I mean? Passed away on Saturday night. Obviously, he had a heart attack as well. He was 63 years old, long-term union member, long-term shop steward, lifetime activist.
Yeah.
Always up for, you know, the cause, anything that we needed. He was born in Wexford, family of 14 in one household, you know. That's the sort of stuff that, you know.
Is he Islander?
No. He's Irelander. He'd done a lot of stuff over the years. He was a good, cold-hearted people, salt of the earth, as Perky would say. But done a lot of work with Father Bob, feeding the homeless and all stuff like that there. He put a lot of time and effort into the Olive Foundation, helping the children in Palestine and stuff like that there, you know. He's if you had something on and you had, you know, to get numbers up to help people do something, Larry, you could pet your ass. He was one of them there. You know what I mean? Pokey and that there. Pokey, really good friend of his, you know what I mean? Whenever he had Jesse back in the day out in Yakandander, he says Larry was out there. He was out with me for almost 2 weeks helping me set up the place and all that there, you know. And he's just a good-hearted person, and it's just a shame he's gone, you know. But his funeral's on Tuesday as well at 11 a.m., it's at St. Peter's and Paul Catholic Church, 377 Dorker Street, South Melbourne. And the wake will follow at the London Tavern, 238 Lennox Street, Richmond.
Yep.
So, and he's also said, in lieu of flowers, donations to go to olivekids.org.au.
Oh, good. Wow, what a good.
So, yeah, that's from Larry. And cheerio, I guess, one of the big-time concrete gang supporter as well. Georgie Despard, we were talking, obviously we've got his poem book, we talk about him. He was one of the former stars of the Concrete Gang. He was obviously in a medical facility for 7 years. Larry visited him every week without fail for 7 years straight. That's just the type of person Larry was, you know. And it's a shame, but anyway, and not to go into sort of just go off it, but we have a few recordings from our
Concrete Gang
So
that's two slabs.
Two slabs. Yeah, two slabs.
That's
what are you doing, Shadow? yes.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. So we have some stuff from the Concrete Gang 50th anniversary, and we're just going to play some recordings.
Thank you.
Why is it important to come to the 50th anniversary of the Concrete Gang?
Oh, because there's not many programs like the Concrete Gang, right? There's not many programs that are made for working class people, especially those in blue-collar unions. And I think it's important to keep construction workers up to date with what's happening in our industry, what problems we're facing, and how we fight back against them. So they're a pretty important program, and I think that's reflected in how long they've been going. Like, 50 years is an incredible length of time for a program like this to be running. So it's a real achievement.
The back, the North got one.
So Warren, how do you feel about it actually being the 50th anniversary of the Concrete Gang?
At my age, it seems like a long time ago.
So I did speak to somebody who said that they'd listened for the very first time in the first day it was on.
Yep.
So that would be you as well? Did you hear it the first time it was on?
No, because everyone forgets there was in fact a test broadcast.
Oh, yeah, right.
Early in 76, and then the show started in June 76. So I don't claim to listen to the test program.
Oh, yeah, all right, okay, all right. They probably didn't either. Are you happy that people have turned up?
Very happy indeed. I hope they have a good day, but they remember what the Concrete Gang is about. It's given a voice to people who don't have a voice, and in our current situation, It's going to become even more important.
We need more voices, that's it.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. 50th anniversary.
I know they sacked the best bloke there.
Yeah, yeah, that's
the gorilla.
Right. The gorilla.
You've got to bring him back. He was an absolute champion.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Them other knuckleheads got no idea.
So tell me about your short stint on Concrete Gang. Was it rewarding?
Oh, yeah, the Concrete Gang's great. It was unreal. You know, you look at the people that have been on it before me, you know, speak up 50 years. You know, bit of crack, we've had a lot of fun, we got sued, we've had it all, you know what I mean? Where else do you get to tell the administrator they're a fucking bunch of grubs?
The Concrete Gang's the greatest radio program in the history of the world.
You reckon that should be a CSA?
Yeah, most definitely. Now, I've been on the Concrete Gang a few times. I'm the wellness officer with the CFMEU, so yeah. I look after all the troubled souls.
Well, you must have a lot of work on your hands at the moment.
I definitely do. It's the three people that are on the Concrete Gang now that I have to deal with.
Well, it's very important because the Concrete Gang's a voice for the CFMU members to the wider community. And if you want to find out what's going on, listen to them.
Are you happy with the turnout?
Oh, the turnout's been amazing, I think. You know, and a lot of retired members, which is good because they love coming to these things. And at the moment, they're pretty few and far between, so it's good to get them all out. And everyone's having a good day, I think.
A bit of a flavour of what the industry was like then and what it's like now. And basically, folks, it ain't changed much. It's all about fucking money and bosses getting as much as they can. Righto, so that's a simple summary of the history. That's what we've talked about for 50 years, and we need to talk about for another 50 years because this industry ain't going to change. It's still going to be the way it is now. Okay, there might be a little less, shall we say, controversy about this, that job or that job or whatever, and who's done this and who's done that. But the basic nature of the industry, it hasn't changed. And the consequence for us will be good and bad, but in the end, just like jobs in this industry, good jobs, bad jobs, all come to an end. And you go on to the next one, and that's what we have to do. And that's where I come back to this little message about the Concrete Gang. It was a voice for people in the industry to talk about the issues in the industry. And sometimes it upset people. And most of the people that did the show to start with were rank and filers. And if they were identified, they were persecuted, which is why people had nicknames or AKAs. Johnny Cummins was Harold, named himself after the project manager of Collins Place, a job that some of us might remember and enjoy. But everyone got a name for various reasons to cover their identity, because people were persecuted. And today, we are going to have another form of persecution, at least for another few years. That's the administration. We're all getting very excited because they're going to report back to Federal Parliament and then the Royal Commission and all the rest of it. We need to make sure that the Concrete Gang is able to report on what is happening in the industry, what is happening in the Royal Commission, what is happening to working people going to work and trying to make a living. That's what we've got to report. We've got to keep the gang going.
And that was a little snippet from the Concrete Gang do. It was a good day, and everything. Everyone had a good time.
Good time, how about all?
And we'll cut to a quick track.
Yeah, we're going to start with Christy Moore, Ordinary Man for Larry.
Now we're on it. I'm an ordinary man, nothing special, nothing grand. I've had to work for everything I own. I never asked for a lot, I was happy with what I got. Enough to keep my family and my home. They say the times are hard, and they've handed me my cards. They say there's not the work to go around. But when the whistle blows, the gates will finally close. tonight, they're gonna shut this factory down. Then to tear it down. I never missed a day nor went on strike for better pay. For 20 years I served them best I could. With a handshake and a check, it seems easy to forget. Loyalty through the bad times and the good. And the owner says he's sad to see that things have got so bad. But the captains of industry won't let him lose. He still smokes a cigar, he drives a brand new car. Still he takes his family on a cruise. He'll never lose. It seems to me a cruel irony. He's richer now than ever he was before. Now my check is spent, I can't afford the rent. One law for the rich, one law for the poor. Every day I've tried to salvage some of my pride, to find some works as I might pay my way. Everywhere I go, the answer's always no. No work for anyone here today. No work today. And so can and I stand, just an ordinary man, like thousands beside me in the queue. I watch me darling wife trying to make the best of life. God knows what the kids are going to do. Now we're faced with this human waste, a generation cast aside. For as long as I live, I never will forgive. You stripped me of dignity and pride. You stripped me bare. You stripped me bare. No work today. No work today.
There it was, Ordinary Man.
By Christy Moore.
Great song.
Muir. Christy Muir.
And we've got our resident, what have we got on the phone?
The Roving Reporter.
The Roving Reporter, Wacko Jagger. From down in Frankston. How are you, mate?
Welcome, brother Jacko.
Yeah, the one day you fought me was not doing a barbecue, but I done one yesterday.
Well, mate, you make it scally.
No
like
excuses,
that,
mate. No excuses.
You get put on the fire. What's happening, Jacko?
Just cruising along here, bro. Yeah, doing pretty well. We've got about 50, 60 here every day, and the amenity structure steals up, and
looks like
really flying along. We'll start to see probably 60, 80, 100 here with the fit out of that starting to move. So, yeah, it's been good.
Oh, there's a good chance the Sparrow will be bringing his kids to the basketball there really soon then.
Yeah, Tom.
He's had to travel everywhere else but Frankston.
But Frankston.
How's that floor coming along, mate, down there?
Yeah, it's getting there, mate. We
second-hand floor.
They started laying the subfloor in courts 7 and 8, so we've got 10 courts here, show courts. They've kept lots of existing courts, and then they've built 2 extra new courts, and they're starting to lay the yellow tongue for the new courts in 7 and 8.
Remember how bad it was? So the Dunnies used to stink. Oh.
Going to the toilet to walk
in the syringe. Stink of piss. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
What did you think it was going to stink of?
Oh, no, it was terrible. It was terrible.
It was a bad place.
It was a bad
Stinks
place.
Of lavender in there.
But they had some good teams there.
They did it right. They've done the car park, now the stadium. You know?
Yep. Yeah, that's it. Yep. They've built it the right way, which is if you can actually be here. If anyone who was down here during the car park build when we were doing that, it was... You turn it over a few hundred kids every 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was horrible to get a car park.
Parking on the street path and up the road, and it was awful. So we've got 300 spots next door now and plenty of room for everybody.
Yeah, good.
Good.
Beautiful.
It's good to see critical infrastructure getting done there.
And how's that report back from our stewards meeting? Were you there?
Yeah, that was a big day, wasn't it?
It was a big day. Bit of emotion around.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, a bit of passion at the end, which is good to see, you know.
100%.
Like, the boys have got a way that we would ordinarily do things, and there's a bit of a softly approach, I think, more so from the administration side that we're not kind of used to. So it's just trying to get those two things organised so that they're working together rather than against each other, I think, is where the key for that is.
But, that's right.
Yeah, it started out, that meeting. Actually, it was you, Sparrow, who started it out, but you spoke about Auntie Tony Radan, the long-term employee who passed away from the multiplex job, Melbourne Square.
Yeah.
He was only in his early 50s and had a medical episode, left a wife and a 19-year-old daughter. It's just a tragedy, really. One, to die at work in the circumstances that he did, which is to have a medical episode and that. But, yeah, the family looked like they were there, and it's just good for us to wrap our arms around them and kind of make sure that they feel loved and accepted as well, you know.
That's right.
It's just an awful shame, that stuff. You can speak about that, Sparrow. Obviously, he was one of your guys
on
your projects, but...
We've already reported on him, so yeah, unfortunately, it was just terrible. But everyone on the job tried to do their best to revive him, but
exactly
it just
right.
There was not much that could be done. You know, so hats off to George, the Stuart there, and Dale, the Peggy out there. They were up there doing the first aid on him, and that they got the defib. They thought they had a bit of a heart rhythm, and shocked him twice. But unfortunately, nothing could be done. You know?
Yeah, that's it. And like, you know, you just pause for a second, throw yourself in their shoes, and. You know, you're doing what you can and as best as you can to try and save a man's life, you know.
And another big thing to take out of this, when we were there, the cops were trying to question people, WorkSafe corner trying to question people.
Nah.
We don't question them. We don't speak to them on the day. If they want to have a chat, they can come to our office and do it in there. Everyone's in shock at the time, and it's not a good time
to be talking. They know the routine.
They know. Yeah, that's right. To be fair, even the policeman said, yeah, we've got the same deal with us anyway. So, yeah, all right.
And some of the people think they help, but they're not.
And that's one good thing about the union, I think people don't automatically think about, is like, we'll back you, and you come into the office and you'll have us there with you. You get representation, you pay your fees, it's how it goes.
That's right.
And you're not left out on your own, you know. That's what is touch one, touch all, and all of that stuff that we have the stickers for and their words and whatever, but that's what it actually means in action. So, the next one after that was John Wiltshire. I love John Wiltshire. He's just, he's a legend. But he spoke about a man, Larry Doyle, who I was standing across from, which is, it's just kind of strange that, but we were there at the do for the 50-year anniversary for the Concrete Gang, for what we're on right now. And Larry was there having a beer to celebrate the 50-year anniversary, and then unfortunately he had a massive heart attack the following Saturday and passed away on the Sunday. Just awful. But he was a long-term friend, 35 years, I believe, with John Wiltshire, and John spoke beautifully about the man. He said that he'd give you the shirt off your back, a great negotiator. Terribly missed, you know, all the things that everybody says. But he relayed a story. He was a child from a family of 14.
Yeah, that's right.
And when he first met, he said he had a bit of a boxer's nose on him. Yeah. And he goes, oh, you can do a bit of boxing in the early days. And he goes, no, mate, it's just fighting for me supper in the
open. Fighting for food.
He's definitely older.
Yeah, he was just you know. Yeah, the family of 14. I told one of the Irish boys out here this morning that story, and he goes, small family.
Yeah. Probably normal over there.
Not even trying, you know. What are we doing? But welcome new Indigenous organiser, Kane Costa. So he got a bit of a chance to stand up, and so we can see who he is, and we give him a clap and wish him the best. We need him.
To him, yeah.
We need a lot of stuff there. Matty McGowan, the administrator, he had a bit of a chat, spoke about some issues arising coming into the Royal Commission, the escalation of the police action and stuff. You know, they're just doing dog and pony shows, parading people around, arresting them, dragging them out of their houses, flipping their houses upside down and putting dogs in the house, you know, scaring wives and children and just, you know, and then not charging anyone and just walking away. Mm. You know, we need to maintain our discipline with it and all that kind of stuff, but... Yeah, it's just, there's a way to do things, and that ain't the way, bro. But 100%.
It's all for the circus.
That's right. Exactly right. And I think my words here that he wrote there, that he said was, it was a fishing expedition, were his words specifically. quoted. So, yeah, they're fish and fruit formation, bits and pieces, whatever. But, like, you know, go fish somewhere else, mate.
That's right.
But he did speak about the front table there, which is obviously Spike, Simo, Jerry and Lisa, and he said they've got the full confidence of the administration, which is, one, it's nice to hear, but I think I speak for everybody when we sit there and go, one, it's a job that you're walking around with handcuffs on, you know, because of the difficulties with the administration, but that they're doing a great job, those guys, Spike, Simo, Jerry and Lisa. We've got the EBA survey out. Everybody do the survey, please. I've already done mine. But, yeah, if you've got any little peccadillos that you find where you get through the gaps, you know, whether it means you're on a concrete pump and you get paid standard time, whatever, and you go onto the inland rail and you end up working 15 or 16 hours in a day. I had that with a pumpy here.
Yep.
And he's on standard time for the whole day. You know, we need to be tightening up those kind of things, you know, where he leaves his house at 1, he's at the pump at 2, he spends 4 hours driving to Benalla or, you know, from somewhere for inland rail, and he's on standard time literally the whole day, all the way back to the yard at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. You know, so just little things like that. If any of the members have got any information around things that affect them like that, then they should throw it in there so that it gets in front of the right eyes, and then if we can do something about it, you know, we will. Side allowances go up. That's great. Side allowance is 370, goes up to 380. That comes in effect on the 1st of October.
The sheets are all out now, so everyone should have them in their offices.
Yep, that's exactly right. I have it in all the sheds here. It's all the wages information. You're walking around with your eyes closed if you can't find it here. But, that comes into effect on the 1st of, which is obviously then also the turn of the ticket for all the members.
Yep.
So the new ticket turns. It's the same money as it was last time. And I can't recommend highly enough to everybody, get on to direct debit. Get on to direct debit.
Get on to the direct debit.
The best ticket in town.
Exactly. And if you're going away for the grand final weekend and you're not financial,
stay away.
Travel insurance.
Travel insurance is invalid.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly right. You know, we're going to Bali next year, travel insurance. There's people.
We're wrapping
them up. You know, the insurance has paid hundreds of thousands of dollars out for and all it is just for having a union ticket. So, well worth it. They touched on the Concrete Gang anniversary, which obviously we're all there. It was great. And Matt Bull won the $5,000, and Campo won the door prize, which is good.
Yep. The gorilla helped him lose that straight away.
That was donated straight to the TAB.
We've got to wrap you up, Jago, because we're running out of time.
Sorry, brother Jago.
No worries, lads.
Thanks for the call.
Afternoon. Thank you.
See you, Jago.
See you, brother.
Thanks, boys.
See you, man.
See ya.
And then we'll go into Scallywags.
Oh, every
Metcalf's.
Metcalf, yeah. Yep.
They're in the disputes.
They
don't want to pay the blokes out there 4 weeks or whatever. There's something. Marty Sweetgums has got him into the disputes. Mind you, he's made millions and millions through all these blokes. He's wrapping the company up, just paying what they're owed.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
And you went and bought yourself another helicopter.
Sold two cranes already for 15 mil. So.
Yeah. Surely you can go out on a high and pay these men what they're...
They're the ones that helped you create your fortune. Your wealth. So just give them what they're earned.
Mm.
So Metcalf's, who else is... Oh, Olin Brown.
Olin Brown again.
Oh, treat.
Yeah, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep.
Yeah. I reckon we go...
Metcalf's made squillions and squillions off the blokes. The blokes thought, they turned up to work, but they helped you make your fortune. Right. So give them what they're owed.
100%.
And Suki Lala.
You put Metcalf in there again.
Metcalf's a Suki. Olin Brown's Suki. Shaper's Suki a little bit about putting on a Roman Stewart. But I think they've come to their senses. But we'll throw Shaper in there.
Go on your ship. Yeah. Well done, mate. Welcome to the club.
So,
Olin Brown.
All right. Olin Brown it is. And we'll go out the same old way. Dare to struggle.
Dare to win.
And if you don't fight, you lose. And it's good morning from the Concrete Gang.
Yeah, the people they won't leave. What is threatening about divesting and want a peace? The problem isn't the protests, it's what they're protesting. It goes against what our country is funding. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. When I was 7, I learned a lesson from Cuban Eazy-E. What was it again? Oh yeah, fuck the police. Actors and badges protecting property in a system that was designed by white supremacy.
But the people are in the streets. You could pay off Meta, you can't pay off me. Politicians who serve by any means, APAC, Koofy, and all the companies. You see, we sell fear around the land of the free. But this generation here is about to cut the strings. You could ban TikTok, take us out the algorithm, but it's too late. We've seen the truth, we bear witness. Seen the rubble, the buildings, the mothers and the children, and all the men that you murdered, and then we see how you spin it. Who gets the right to defend and who gets the right of resistance? It's always been about dollars and the color of your pigment. But white supremacy is finally on blast, screaming free Palestine to their home at last. We see the lies and claiming it's anti-Semitic to be anti-Zionist. I seen Jewish brothers and sisters out there imbibing in solidarity and screaming free Palestine with them organizing and learning and finally cutting ties with the state that's gotta rely on apartheid system to uphold and occupy and violent history been repeating for the last 75. The NECPA never ended, the colonizer lied.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.